You're listening to I'm Right, Deal With It.
That is, unless you're watching it. Yeah! Something about this music. Telling you, it just gets me going. If you're listening through your radio talker device or your Android or your iPhone, you missed my air guitar playing. Pretty good. Welcome to the program, folks. I'm Andy Parrish. I'm right. Make sure, please, folks, I've just been so humbled with how fast we've grown, but please make sure to like and subscribe and share this podcast with people that you know, because today, look, I'm surrounded. I'm in the middle stage of my life. I have two teenage daughters and a 12-year-old son, and they're speaking a language that is, I call it stupid. They call it today's language. Right? They say things that I have no idea what they mean. They're like, Dad, that's so cap. Cap? Like my hat? Like cap hat? Or they'll say Riz, and I'm like, who called you that? Or Dad, that what you have on there is fire. Fire? And where's the fire? And I'm looking around. No, they're like, Dad, that means good. All right? I have no idea what they're saying. None whatsoever. And that's okay. Somebody out there can help me. Send me a list. So when you like, subscribe, and then send me a list of what all this stuff means. I suppose I could just Google it. I could do that, and I could use the Google machine. That's what I might do. Who knows? Anyway, when you like, subscribe, and follow me on X, studies have shown that you become 93% more beautiful, 76% more intelligent. 51% of people will actually believe that you've written a book, and I don't know why. Just happens. I'm not going to argue it. It's the way it is. All right, folks, today's a difficult day for me because I've always said that I put the Constitution and I put the security, safety, and well-being of Americans before I do party loyalty. And I thought that in November, and this could have been a dream, I don't know, I could be waking up from, but I thought in November that we had kept majority in the House, that we had taken a sizable majority in the Senate. And by that, I mean enough to cancel out the votes of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who are Democrats. They might as well just go be with the Democrats. They're Democrats. They just say they're Republicans. In fact, someday I think we'll see them caucus with the Democrats because that's where they belong, frankly. And then we have J.D. Vance to break the tie, and we have President Donald J. Trump to sign whatever it is we pass. And it's not looking good, guys. This is not a good start. We have a continuing resolution, which most people have no concept of what a CR is. And they're already starting the scare tactics of we're going to shut down government Friday if we don't pass this. Now, if this is your first time listening or you seem to have forgotten, I spent close to a decade out on the Hill as a chief of staff to a member of Congress. I've run many, many campaigns. In fact, one of the campaigns I ran was the fifth most competitive House race in the nation and most expensive in that state's history, and we won. And I'm just, folks, I was ready for disappointment, and here we're going to get it, because I read the whole 99-page continuing resolution. And now Donald Trump, who I'm a huge supporter of, huge, tweets stuff out like Republicans need to vote for this, and he's bashing Thomas Massie, who votes no against everything. Look, Thomas Massie is probably one of the only Congress people left that I actually trust to do the right thing. He just is. I mean, it's the guy has a moral compass to him, and he's going to stick with it, and no matter the consequences, and I admire him for that. I've always said I'd rather die on principle than win on compromise. Because when we compromise, have you ever noticed that the people asking you to compromise are just a terrible judge of distance on how far you should come? We always lose. And when we compromise, it's not we as a party that loses, it's we as the people that lose. And so I'm going to spend some time today breaking down what a continuing resolution is and what a joke it is and why it's always, always, 100% of the time, a continuing resolution should be a no vote for any conservative out there. It should just be an automatic no. Don't even need to read the bill. It should be a no. And here's why I say that. It's not the mess that's in this continuing resolution. One, calling it a continuing resolution is dishonest. It's as dishonest as saying we just want to make sure that the wealthy pay their fair share, right? I mean, fair share assumes everybody pays something. Half the country pays nothing. How's that fair share? That's like me saying, it's like me getting punished at home when I was a kid because my brother didn't empty the top of the dishwasher and mom wants me to do it. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's got to do his fair share, right? See, that's how fair share works. Everybody has a portion of it. Half the country pays nothing or gets something back. And the term continuing resolution is just as dishonest as I was saying as fair share. Because continuing resolution is, it's not a statutory bill. It's not like it's a statutory language or it's a constitutionally charged duty of the legislature. It's something that they made up. And continuing resolution, when you add resolution to it, it means that you've come to completion or you've come to an agreement or that there is no longer a problem. We have resolution. And continuing, they try to trick you into saying, we're just going to continue what we were doing. It's not true, folks. Continuing resolutions are a way, it's a way to pack special projects for members of Congress into their districts without having to go through the budget process. The budget process is an exceptionally important process. First and foremost, it ties the hands of politicians from spending more money because we would have a two-year budget from spending more of your money however they see fit. There's that. Here's the other thing is that the marketplace, the markets, they love consistency, they love stability. And they love to try to tell the future the best they can. So when it comes to your retirement, your savings, and so on, the markets don't like continuing resolutions. They want stability. They want known. They want something that they can literally count on. So not only is it spending our money, but it's also not helping out in the marketplace the best that I think they could. So I read through this continuing resolution, and I'm not going to bore you with the details. I'm going to give you the high-level stuff so that you at least know what to tell people. But there are certain sections of this bill pertaining to health and human services that don't just fund it at its current level. They went ahead and they funded through 2027. Can you believe that? How's that continuing? We didn't vote. We didn't vote for things to continue in Washington the way they were. We didn't. We're going to continue spending at Biden levels. What was the point of DOGE then? What was the point of what Elon Musk was doing if we're just going to continue to spend at those levels? I don't think a lot of Americans have an idea of what $6 trillion is. It's very hard to figure that out. Very hard to get your mind around. So I want to walk you through the budget today. I kind of missed the doing this stuff. But I'm going to do it in an honest way. I'm going to let you know that we have two budgets. Did you know that? We have two budgets for the federal government. We have our mandatory spending, which is probably 3/4 of the budget. And mandatory spending is law requiring us to spend money at the beginning of every fiscal year. Unless we go and change the law, funding for 3/4 of government, roughly, is automatically funded without any act of Congress whatsoever, and it's tied to inflation. And when they threaten you with government shutdown, I want to get a cool button that'll make changes of noises. And I only have a few, but I want to get more. Because I think it's, oh yeah, here we go. Wait.
Government is shutting down. Friday, Grandma will be without medication or money. And she's going to have to eat dog food because of Republicans.
Yeah! I need a better button. You know the scare tactics that CNN's already starting and the rest of them. Government's going to shut down on Friday. Grandma is going to be kicked out in the snow and she's not going to have access to her doctor and her drugs are going to be dog food because Republicans don't want to give her a prescription. You know the whole drill. You know it. And here we are in charge as Republicans and we're playing into this crap time and time again. I'm going to pull up the budget here for you because we have two portions to our budget. We have our mandatory spending, as I was telling you, and wait till you see what's included in there. And then we have what's called our discretionary spending. We have 12 appropriations committees in the House of Representatives. Remember, all spending has to originate in the House. And they put out their budget for whatever their charge is. And then that goes to the House for a vote, goes to the Senate for a vote, goes to the president for a signature, and wham, wham, we got a budget. Not that hard. You and I have to do that. So when I'm going through this, I want you to think of it this way. When I say it's mandatory spending, think of it as your mandatory spending. Think of it as things that you have a contractual agreement to pay. For instance, your mortgage, any car payments, any auto insurance, perhaps your cell phone bill. Anything that you have agreed in a contract that you will make a regular payment on, consider that your mandatory spending. Your utility bills. Got to have those to live, right? Then we have our, I love how they title this, discretionary spending. Some will call it non-mandatory. I'd call it non-mandatory, but it's discretionary spending. The way the government works, folks, the discretionary spending, think of that as this. I've made it known I have a shoe addiction. I have a sneaker addiction. I love sneakers. Love them. But I don't have a contractual agreement to buy any of them. So when I buy sneakers, I'm buying that out of my fun money. That's my money left over after I have paid all of my contractual obligations. That is what we're fighting over right now. We're fighting over the fun money. And so when we shut government down, not much shuts down over the fun money because the mandatory stuff has been funded. It's funded by law. It's automatic. Congress doesn't need to do a thing. So we're literally right now fighting over fun money, our play money. And when we raise the debt ceiling, we are allowing the Treasury to print bonds, which is IOUs, and let people buy them, like China, Japan, Social Security Trust Fund, Medicare Trust Fund. They get purchased there. And we took out a loan for our fund money. How many of you would take out a loan to buy sneakers or you just wouldn't? All right. So that's the two differences. You have your discretionary spending and your mandatory spending. Mandatory, you got to do. Discretionary fund money. I want to show you the budget here because to me, it's time that we really get down to numbers and you see what's happening. So if you're watching, I just pulled it up here and I want to show you this. I start off this spreadsheet with what's considered the mandatory spending from most expensive to least expensive. And what's really dishonest, again, that politicians love to do, is for Social Security here, you might actually see the number as this, and then up here have it say in billions, because that number looks small. I actually want people to see all the zeros behind it so that they can comprehend how big this is. So of our mandatory spending, which is a little over $4 trillion, Social Security is by far the biggest driver. Now, we have 155 million tax filers in this country. not taxpayers, not people, tax filers, which means, you know, like my kids, they don't work, so they don't pay taxes. Angela and I, we file our taxes together. We are one tax filer. So for the lulls, for as my kids would say, I don't even know what that means. I just hope I used it correctly. I decided to take what each spending category is and divide it by the number of tax filers so we do have an idea of what a fair share really is if you were to pay your fair share. Half the country pays nothing. So you could double this for actual taxpayers, but then it gets a little more complex because of the tiers that's in there. Social Security, if everybody paid their fair share, $8,580 a year goes to the government for that out of your money. Medicare, the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, Medicare, $820 billion. Medicare, everybody gets when they turn, I think it's 62. That's government health care. You get it whether you like it or not. Medicaid, that's typically aid to the states. It's a little different. There's income qualifications to it. Basically, that's age doesn't matter. It's for the poor. And this is the one that gets me $480 billion on the national debt. So of your money that you give, because these clowns continue to spend and borrow money, $3,096 a year goes just to pay the interest and doesn't even pay down on the principal for each tax filer. And what do we do when we run out of fun money? Because we're obligated to spend this money. What do we do when we run out of fun money? We go borrow money for fun money. Not okay. All right, so you can see the rest of it here. We'll keep going down. One of them that's very important that I want you to see is the veterans benefits, which includes veteran health care, veteran pensions, federal civilian retirement and benefits. That's their pay. It is automatic that Social Security, Medicare, federal retirement benefits, veterans benefits, veterans health care, and everything else, it is on autopilot. No matter what happens, they're going to continue to get their benefit. You go down here to SNAP, which is a nutrition program. I'll never say this. I only say it one time about this particular tax credit. But if there was an immoral tax credit, it would be the earned income tax credit. $70 billion. You want to know what that is? See this 451 right here? It's what you pay. You pay somebody else who didn't even pay that in. That's your gift to somebody else. The way the earned income tax credit works is that the poorer you are, it incentivizes you to have more children. Because the poorer you are and the number of children that you have determines a calculation on how much money you get of somebody else's. So let's say you had a tax liability of $500 and you paid in throughout the year and you paid in $500. Let's say you already paid it. You're even with the government. But let's say your earned income tax credit is $3,500 because of your income level or the number of kids you have. Government gives you a $3,000 check just for the fun of it of somebody else's money. Let that sink in. $70 billion. Your share is $451 a month. Okay, so let's go all the way down here. So of mandatory spending, look in column D all the way at the bottom. Mandatory spending, government on autopilot, you pay close to 20. If everyone paid their fair share, $26,000 a year. Now, the fun money. And I'll be a little cautious of this because defense is not fun money. That is a charge of the natural government or of the federal government. That's one of their only responsibilities, frankly. That cannot be put into mandatory spending because the world changes rapidly, and how we fight wars changes rapidly, and our needs change rapidly, and technology does. All right, so I could see why people are like, well, why isn't that over in the mandatory? It's because you don't know what's coming up, all right? But if you look at it, you know, if you look at what our drivers are here, it's gonna fit in right about number two overall. But a national defense is something that our government is supposed to do. Labor, health, and human services and education, $220 billion. We can keep going on and on. George W. Bush gave us the Department of Homeland Security and that monstrosity of a colossal violation of civil liberties cost us $91 billion a year now. $91 billion a year. That's a lot of money. All right, go all the way down. Let's go down to foreign aid. It's $24 billion. It's one of the smallest portions of our budget. This is where people love to get you, as they'll say, oh, the agriculture, rural development, FDA. Farmers already get direct payments. If they get subsidies, they get direct payments. This is more rural development, meaning let's bring broadband to everybody, even though it's not feasible. FDA, let's give out FDA loans in certain areas, which are almost pretty much interest-free loans to people who actually don't qualify for a regular loan. Let's do that. So that's what that is. This is fun money. The fun money is $11,058 per year. So a grand total, if everybody paid their fair share in taxes, they would have to write a check for $37,025.80. That is a ton of money. It's a ton of money. I don't like it. It's a ton of money. And we can't get a budget from people who are fiscally conservative. And that is what we should have. That is what we should demand, is a budget. But the thing, what they do is they put this together in a continuing resolution with the threat of government shutdown. The reason they have threat of, quote, government shutdown, because, yeah, some stuff would shut down. Some of the fun money stuff would. But that's only to give members of Congress who vote for these kind of tricks cover when they go back to their district saying, well, should I have shut government down? Yes! The answer is yes. Nothing bad is going to happen to human people because Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, veterans benefits, federal employee benefits. It's all on autopilot, folks. All on autopilot. It's already been approved by previous law. Now, this monstrosity of a continuing resolution that we're looking at funds things that I really don't like, and it's funding at least at the same levels of Biden levels. Why are we funding? Why are we continuing to fund government at the same levels when we voted for change? Show me the change. This is just as frustrating as in 2016. Remember how hard we worked to get Trump elected in 2016? Remember how hard we worked to take the House? Remember how hard we worked for the Senate? Because what were they going to do on day one? Repeal Obamacare. Same Congress, same Senate, new president, but the same Congress, same Senate. Hey, they sent full repeal of Obamacare to Barack Obama, and Barack Obama vetoed it. But then when we had a president in there that was a Republican, the Republicans got cute with repeal light because they didn't want to offend anybody. And they never sent repeal to Donald Trump. I just was arguing, just send the same damn bill that you sent Obama. Not that hard. This is what they do. So they use the cover of government shutdown so that members who vote for this can go home and say, well, did you want me to shut it down? I can't shut it down. We didn't increase spending. We kept it the same. Well, you know what? You kept it the same and it's already too high. It's too much. It is too much money. I don't want you to keep it the same. We didn't vote for the same. Mr. President, I'm a supporter of yours, but I don't want the same. What was the point to DOGE if you're just going to keep funding government at the same level? What was the whole point? What was it? If we're going to fund government at the same levels, why am I so mad? Well, Andy, the president is enforcing the Hyde Amendment. For those of you that don't know, it means that federal money can't be spent on abortions. Okay, well, community health clinics are funded fully in the health and human services portion of this. They can't use the money for abortions. But there's fiscal fungibility. Big fancy word. Let me tell you what that is. Means I'm paying all my bills right now with no money. Money comes in. They say you can't spend it on abortion. Fine. I write whatever they wrote the check for. I write that out for my utility bill. And I stamp a statement on it, stamp my check on it, and say, see, I didn't spend your money on abortion. But guess what I just did? I just freed up all the money I was going to spend on my utility bill. And there's no restrictions for my money, how I can spend my money. I just simply use that then. It's an accounting shift. I'm getting really frustrated with what we're seeing. We're not off to a good start. Donald Trump gave a great speech Tuesday night. He said a lot of things he's going to do, and he's done a lot of things. He's done some good things. But when it comes to our fiscal house, nothing is changing. Why? It's so hilarious to me that these goofballs can get together and they can pass a 6 or 9 month stopgap funding bill so that grandma doesn't.
Grandma. Oh, I'm going to go without any prescription drugs.
No, grandma, you're not. You're not. But it's interesting to me that they can figure out a way to fund this for 6 to 9 months, and then we're at it again and again and again. Why? Because they can't want to keep spending. If we had a 2-year budget, they wouldn't be able to spend. And that therein lies the problem, is that they think that it is their job to not have a budget and to spend your money willy-nilly and to spend it on what they want. My member of Congress, I am not thrilled with. I don't hide that. He's a Republican. He also acts like a Democrat, but he's a, quote, Republican. But he loves these continuing resolutions, and he loves raising the debt ceiling. I don't think he's voted against one of them. Maybe voted against, I don't know. Campaigned against earmarks. You know, special pork money for the district, you know, and then he brags about bringing $30 million home of earmarks for water treatment facilities and city municipalities. How is it the responsibility of somebody in Alabama to pay for someone in rural Wisconsin to use the bathroom? It's not, but it's fun to do, and they get to go home with these Happy Gilmore-sized checks, get their name on the paper. And leadership gives them cover under the fake guise of, oh, government's going to shut down.
Please, this is Grandma. Do not let government shut down. I need my insulin. You just capped it at $35. The rest of my drugs went up, but you capped it.
All right, stop it. Not going to happen. Everything's funded. This is their fund money, and it's your money. Folks, I'm going to post the spreadsheet on my website so that you can see it. I've always valued the Constitution and conservative principles more than I do party loyalty. President Trump is wrong on this one. Republicans who vote for it are wrong on this one, because they're not doing it in the right way. The right way to protect your money is to come up with a budget. And to not continue to do this, and to not continue to scare people. And my gosh, people, do you know how many policy changes get thrown into continuing resolutions? I didn't see too many in this one. But you would have to believe that it was just, hey, same old, nothing changes. No, huh? Nope. FEMA got a huge boost in this one. How does that happen? FEMA gets a huge increase of funding through this continuing resolution, but we're just going to call it continuing resolution. So, folks, if you remember this, just remember this. One, like, subscribe, and share this podcast. And when you follow me on X, you become much more beautiful than you already are. And I know that you don't think that's possible. I don't think that's possible, but that's the way it works. And number two, when people start talking about continuing resolutions in the budget, remind them that we have essentially two budgets. We have our mandatory spending, which is on autopilot, resets the beginning of every fiscal year and is tied to inflation so that Everybody gets their cost of living, even though you and I don't, with private employers. The rest of the money is fun money. It's not legally required to spend. And they're willing to scare you into saying, we're going to shut down government. Good, you're going to shut down your discretionary fund. That's what you're going to do. And we should always have a budget to protect you and I, to tie their hands. So just remember those three things. Why can't we produce a budget? These idiots can get together and they can produce a budget in the form of continuing resolution, but only make it good for several months. Think of that. It's just insane. So, folks, I appreciate you watching. Remember, mandatory spending. Grandma's okay. Veterans are okay. Everybody's okay. Discretionary spending, fun money, bringing money home to the districts for the most part. And we haven't had a budget in quite some time, and we have Republicans in the House, the Senate, and the presidency. So when people bring this up, look them in the eye and say, you're wrong. I'm me. I'm right. Deal with it.
You've been listening to I'm Right.
Or watching.
Deal with it.
Mm-mm.